You by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Progressive presents good news, bad news, dumb news, then great news. Good news. A letter in your mailbox says you could save money bundling your home and auto insurance with Progressive. Bad news. You saw it after your teenager backed the car into the mailbox. Dumb news. A new mailbox, basically a box on a stick, costs up to $400. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and go with paperless mail instead. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Texting enrolls you in a reoccurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
10. Nice work.
Thanks. Taking Nugenix Total T makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas, right?
Yes.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yes. Nugenix is a great way to feel stronger with more energy and endurance. And as Frank says, she'll like it too.
Text RADIO to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Text RADIO to 321-321. That's radio to 321-321.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The campaign trail winds through North Carolina later this week for both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. Her running mate, Tim Walz, today in California for his first solo campaign event. And President Biden is in Louisiana today. He'll deliver remarks at Tulane University on his ongoing project to fight cancer. Here's ABC's Selena Wang.
President Biden is headed to New Orleans today for his Cancer Moonshot event. Biden will announce up to $150 million in awards to 8 research teams working on innovative cancer treatment ideas. Every year, nearly 2 million Americans are diagnosed with solid tumor cancers, and surgical removal is often their first step in treatment.
The Pentagon is sending more military assets and personnel to the Middle East as Israel braces for retaliatory strikes by Iran. The U.S. is also working to tamp down on tensions, calling on Iran not to widen the conflict. This is ABC News. Another court appearance for former New York Congressman George Santos.
In a pretrial hearing, disgraced Congressman George Santos lost his request that he be able to question potential jurors in his upcoming federal trial on Long Island. Instead, the presiding judge ruled allowing Santos's proposed questionnaire would be very inefficient and that the standard jury questionnaire will suffice. Santos has pleaded not guilty to a 23-count indictment charging him with wire fraud, making false statements to the Federal Election Commission, and identity theft. His trial is set to start next month. He faces up to 20 years in prison if convicted. Derek Dennis, ABC News, New York.
Researchers have linked too much screen time use by kids as young as 3 to more angry outbursts. They say that tablets undermine kids' ability to manage their emotions. Researchers say giving kids a device to calm a temper tantrum also harms their social skills and language development. The study, though, found that mobile devices can improve emotional growth if used with parent involvement. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
She posted about us just now.
Celebrities can't get enough of Bianna's bespoke skincare line.
She has 147 million followers. How do we monetize?
She needs a social media associate to help her with the hype.
We should repost this. Do we need a hashtag?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. It's primary election day in Wisconsin. Voters across the state will see a pair of constitutional amendments that would give state lawmakers some say in how billions of dollars in federal money are spent. Voters will also see primary races in everything from local offices to Congress in some communities. Something to keep in mind from State Elections Administrator Megan Wolf.
You can only vote for candidates of one party in this election. If you choose a party preference at the top of the ballot and you accidentally vote in more than one party's primary, the votes within the party that you chose at the top of the ballot will count towards your choice.
Polls in Wisconsin are open till 8 tonight. An armed man shot by Fitchburg police is in critical condition. Police say they responded to a call regarding a couple that was fighting. When officers entered the home, a 28-year-old man armed with a knife allegedly approached officers after refusing repeated commands to drop the knife. One officer fired at and struck the man, who was taken to the hospital. The victim of the original incident received minor injuries. The officer involved has been placed on administrative duties as the Wisconsin Department of Justice investigates. Universities of Wisconsin officials are confident in the future of higher education in the state. UW System President Jay Rothman says they need to change the perception of the value of higher education.
If you look at the data, the number one reason that students are not going out is cost. I think sometimes we get caught up in that national narrative, well, you folks are too expensive. We have to push back on that in Wisconsin and say, listen, if you are an in-state resident coming to one of our universities, you can get a quality education.
Rothman spoke at a recent state Senate study committee on the future of the UW system. The committee is expected to meet again August 29th. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny and warm today, with high temperatures climbing into those mid-80s. Winds will be light and variable, and overnight, patchy fog is possible. We put today on repeat for tomorrow as well before we get soaked on Thursday, with rain lingering for our Friday and even into Saturday. Call Tax Solutions now for help. 1-800-281-8193. Right now, 81 degrees.
Day two of adjusting the bean market to the bigger-than-expected supply and carryover estimates from USDA, and the market still isn't showing signs of enough is enough. That dragged corn prices lower, which kept buying in wheat futures. Feeder cattle buyers like the looks of cheaper feed, but lean hog traders aren't showing much interest in the buy side of that market.
Live, I'm furious regarding an unrelated matter via Farm Journal Studios. This is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we've got a conversation with Alyssa Badger from the Money Farm. Directly following the news, Brian Split from AgMarket.net.
What?
I'm a handsome, furious newsman, Davis Michelson, and now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Is that what I sent you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is that not right?
It's Allison Thompson from the Money Farm. I'm sorry.
What did I say?
Alyssa Badger.
Let me look. I'm going back to
that
look.
Would be High Ground Dairy.
Oh, nope. You don't need to apologize. I do.
Oh.
Allison Thompson.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry.
Gotcha. That's fine. Davis.
Now she's going to be
know.
Mad.
I know. You see? The brain waves were a little scrambled right before we went on the air. I get it. I understand it all.
It's been like 10 minutes, though, since I wrote down the wrong name on my computer screen.
So that happened before Big Apple Joe lit your fuse. And,
infuriated me,
And tossed the grenade in your direction.
That's right.
Red light.
Yeah.
But we're full stop now for AgriTalk, Chip. I'm focused.
Beautiful. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. Yes.
Let's do this.
We've got Allison Thompson coming our way from the Money Farm. Brian Split's going to give us some perspective on what is happening in this soybean market. You know, it was probably a month ago. Brian was on. And he was running through his chart outlook for the soybean market, and he caught a fair amount of heat after he was on.
That's right. Yes.
With guys saying, come on, you can't be that bearish, blah, blah, blah. You know, well, I got a feeling that the outlook has turned even more negative after the setback. But at the same time, and this is something that we need to talk about more and more, okay? And we've talked about it many times on the show, and we're going to talk about it more. Don't get more bearish as the price goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, that is true unless we are also adjusting the fundamentals behind the market. And a 560 million bushel carryover on new crop beans is an adjustment. It is something that the market has to account for, and it's doing so, and doing so very quickly. So we'll talk more about that with Allison coming up here in a bit. All right, let's get to the news.
Well, Chip, wheat futures continued to digest yesterday's crop production report, which showed a bigger-than-expected winter wheat crop, but a spring wheat crop estimate that fell short of trade expectations. Soft red winter wheat led the price decline, but December SRW still respected support at 550 and remains in a narrow sideways trading range. September spring wheat futures have posted three consecutive higher closes and are still locked in the $5.80 to $6 trading range. Wheat traders say downside risk in wheat futures is limited by crop concerns in Russia, Ukraine, and France. Egypt reportedly purchased just 280,000 metric tons of wheat from Ukraine and Bulgaria out of its record-large tender for 3.8 million metric tons. December HRW wheat futures a penny lower, 562.5. December SRW wheat down 8 cents to 551 and 3 quarters. September spring wheat closed at 593, up 3 quarters of 1 penny, Chip.
All right, yeah. Egypt obviously decided that they didn't need to get too aggressive in that wheat market yet. They see some further downside risk.
Well, Chip, a lack of deterioration in USDA's crop condition report for corn has some crop watchers adding on to yesterday's yield estimate of 183.1 bushels per acre. The lack of a significant threat in the weather forecast and professional trading funds' commitment to the short side of the corn market continues to weigh on corn prices. Traders basically ignored USDA's announcement of a new crop corn sale of just over 137,000 metric tons to Mexico. December corn opened slightly lower today, firmed to test resistance at yesterday's high of 403, and then fell back to post a low range close. September corn 5.5 cents lower, 377 and three quarters. December corn down 4 1/4 cents to 397 and one quarter. March corn futures closed at 414 and three quarters. That's down 4 1/4 cents.
Let's bring the demand on. There's no question about it. If we can do that, corn's got a chance.
Well, USDA this morning also announced the sale of 132,000 metric tons of new crop soybeans to China. That long overdue demand was not enough to overshadow yesterday's price negative reports from USDA. The national average soybean yield of 53.2 bushels per acre, the addition of about 1 million acres to harvested bean area, and a new crop soybean carryover forecast of 560 million bushels have analysts reevaluating downside risk in bean prices. The end of the dock worker strike in Argentina also weighed heavily on soybean meal and bean oil prices. Novi bean futures opened fractionally higher but near session highs and fell to close on a new contract low. September beans 24 cents lower, 947 and a quarter. Novi beans down 23 and a half to 962 and a half. Jan beans closed at 980 and one quarter. Chip, that's down 23 and one quarter cents.
Yeah, momentum is with the sellers. There is no question about that in the soy complex.
Well, December cotton today was 108 points lower at 67.99. Quickly on your livestock, strength in boxed beef values this week has traders anticipating a turnaround in the cash cattle market. October fats 72.5 cents higher, 180.75. September feeder futures 267.5 higher, 242.17.5. And on the snout side, October hog futures spiked support at 72.50, but did recover. October hogs today 147.5 lower, 72.85. Chip.
All right, thank you very much, Davis. Brian Split, AgMarket.net joins us. How you doing, Brian?
Doing awesome, Chip. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Talk to me about soybeans. We've got to reevaluate here a bit, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, so some of the conditions that we talked about over the last several weeks, you know, taking out early year lows, which in this case this year were made in February. So doing that in the month of July was a very negative development technically. We also talked about what it means when you spend multiple years above $11 in soybeans and then you have the front month get back down below 11. That historically very rapidly leads to a test of the low nines to the upper eights before finding support. my major concern. And so here's the thing with these analog comparisons. You know, 2024 was compared to 14. 23 was compared to 13. And that started in 2020 and 2010. So the next natural progression is to look at 2015 versus 2025. And if you overlay a NOV 25 bean chart over NOV 15, it's scary, to say the least. And I tweeted something to that effect, earlier this week. But the implication is that now that we have NOV 25 beans below 1050, we might get one more shot at it. Once we bottom out, we're going to retest 1050, probably sometime in November. And then that's the last time you're going to see that price for the remainder of that contract. And we're going to be with an $8 handle a year from now. So I think there's still a severe underestimation of what the downside potential is in these markets right now.
Boy, that's just a barrel of monkeys fun, isn't it?
Chip, I'm just trying to like tell people what I think. I know some people are mad at me, and some people have thanked me tremendously for my thoughts over the last few months, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. You're telling us what you're saying. I love it, Brian. Thanks, buddy. Talk to you later.
All right, catch you later.
My name is Grant Bell. I'm 21 years old, and I'm from Sullivan, Indiana. Becoming a Sweetwater Technologies franchise partner has allowed me to return to the home farm and diversify my income source. Drones are the future, and they really are a solid agronomic endeavor. And we're flying at 28 feet per second, getting a nice uniform swath across your field, really blowing down that product into the canopy. We're having great success this summer, and I'm really excited to see where things go. Apply today to become a partner at SweetwaterTechnologies.com.
At Case IH, we know you work hard all year to maximize your yield at harvest. And to do that, you need a combine that works as hard as you do. That's why we built the new AF11 with more horsepower, more efficiency, and more capacity than any other combine out there. Plus, built-in automation to harvest more easily than ever before. To do more with every engine hour, you need equipment that's as good as you are. You need the best in your field. Visit your local Case IH dealer for more on the AF11.
Protecting your nitrogen is smart. And a nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute. Hey, can I rethink this? ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
It's time to cut costs. Your Meristem dealer has the keys. Unlock the NPK you already own with new, improved Excavator AMS powered by Microbialize technology. Excavator AMS is the first and only all-in-one nutrient release and residue breakdown product with built-in nitrogen, surfactants, and water conditioner. Take cost out of your fertilizer and adjuvant spend now. Unlock nutrition faster with Excavator AMS. Learn more and find a dealer at meristemag.com. Always more bushels for less.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us on a Tuesday afternoon for a conversation with Allison Thompson from the Money Farm up in Fargo, North Dakota. Allison, welcome back to AgriTalk. It's good to talk with you.
Yeah, good to talk with you too. Thanks for having me on today.
Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Let's do something a little bit different for the afternoon show. And instead of jumping right into the markets, let's jump into the spring wheat crop a bit up there. What's going on? How's things looking on the farm?
Well, things are actually looking pretty good. We're getting into spring wheat harvest here. It's just starting to kick off. I know guys have been going here over the past week or so, hit and miss, but I know there's going to be a lot of crop coming off here over the next week. I've been hearing a lot of mixed results as far as harvest goes. I've been hearing some pretty decent yields, but not necessarily the protein content a lot would have liked to have seen, but that's a typical handoff we see when we get bigger yields. We don't necessarily see the protein content being there. So I've been hearing that coming in on the lower side, and we're also dealing with some quality concerns with scab, and I even heard a little bit of mom out in North Dakota as well. So for producers, it's obviously not a good sign, especially if you're needing to make delivery on those bushels here at harvest. It obviously adds to discounts of already depressed prices. But in turn, that could actually help support our market going forward. Yeah. So as harvest keeps rolling here and we're talking about this and this ends up being a wider issue, I think spring wheat could definitely see some momentum here go to the upside because we're not dealing with it. And that's a change that we've had from recent years. You know, the last couple of years, we've really lucked out on both sides of that equation. We got really good yields and really good protein, really good quality. And even with the winter wheat too, I mean, the last couple of years, they've had really good protein content, pretty poor yields, but they've had the protein. So, and millers have taken advantage of that. Even on the global market, they've been able to, blend a lot of that in. And unfortunately now we're seeing that being used up, as far as high protein wheat. So now we're really focusing on the Minneapolis wheat market for that protein. And this year it just might not be there. And I think the report this week maybe gave us a little inkling of that. We did see harvested acres go down in the report, but what does the quality of that crop look like? And I think there's definitely some questions out there this year on what that could actually do for the market. So in my opinion, with the action that we did get this week, and from what I've been hearing from a lot of producers and clients, at least in the tri-state area, is that we probably have seen the bottom in Minneapolis wheat. And to add on top of that, we're also looking at some rain chances over the next week. And if that ends up being true, slow it down harvest, we could see that also impact our quality here going forward.
Yeah. Okay, couple of things on that. The vomitoxin in the wheat, you said it very quickly. I'm assuming it's not a huge issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've just heard a couple of reports of it,
okay.
But not widespread that I'm aware of right now. But again, like I said, we're just getting rolling. And of course, it's going to work its way north, and we'll see what that looks like. Of course, we've dealt with a cool and wet growing season for the most part. So obviously, quality is a concern here this year.
Yeah. I don't even know, Allison. What do you do with wheat that's got some vomitoxin in it?
You're stuck.
It's
exactly it. You're just kind of stuck with that quality, and unfortunately, you're going to get the discount for it. So I know guys are obviously getting into harvest. Plans change with corn, soybeans, wheat included in that, on what's going to be moving into the elevator or not. But even if you are dealing with some lower proteins, I know discounts are always really steep at harvest. So I've actually been having guys take advantage of the carry that's currently in the spring wheat market from September to December, if not even rolling out even further than that, because there is some decent carry in the market. So that way, at least you're gaining on your cash sale, but you're also probably dealing with better basis and obviously better discounts going out to those further deferred months. So there are some options that are out there. It's kind of funny how some of those discounts disappear once harvest is gone. So if that's the case here, and they're going to be searching for quality, I have a feeling we could see that coming down the road.
Okay. You know, one of the things that we comment on AgriTalk when crop quality issues come up is that it's too complicated for futures to sort it out. The cash market has got to do that work. And when we're talking about differences in protein content, that's completely a cash market function, or is it because of the strength compared to the winter wheat contracts that we're seeing in spring wheat futures? Does that have something to do with what's going on? Okay.
Yep. Exactly. So obviously there is going to be some play in the cash market. That's understood, you know, but against the other two exchanges for wheat, I think spring wheat could keep differentiating itself, and we'll see that premium build against the other two exchanges. Today was a perfect example. We actually managed some higher closes in some of the contracts, or well, we were close to unchanged, I guess, when it all settled out. But at least it's been holding better. And I have a feeling even now, like in the September contract from Minneapolis to Chicago, it's 64 cents. It got down to 50 before the report. And now we're starting to see that build. We've seen that before. It can go up to a dollar. There'll be corrections along the way. Don't get me wrong. But if we're looking for a quality product and they're looking for protein wheat, even on the global market, Minneapolis will sustain itself.
Yeah. Okay. If there's one market that I feel like it's probably moved to low enough levels, it's the wheat market. Is that out of bounds?
No, I don't think so. And I think every producer out there would agree with you that it's definitely cheap enough. You know, that's very true. But unfortunately, even at the prices we're at today, we don't compete on the global market. And we got proof of that even with, I heard you mention Egypt's large tender. Yeah. I mean, that was pretty big news on the wheat world news circuit. Because it was such a large tender, there was so many interesting aspects of it, and yet we didn't get any of it, and it went to the cheapest offers, and very little of it actually got filled. So now they're going to private tenders, which kind of is code for, well, if you didn't want to put it out there for the world to see, come and whisper it in our ears, and we'll probably take you up on your offer to fill it. So likely going to be filled with some cheap wheat out of Russia, and that's not supportive on the global market. So unfortunately, I think that's what took the wind out of Chicago sales today. Might have been more of that tender and lower corn prices, but we just need demand. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. And I think there is room for especially spring wheat because of its protein content to gain on the global market because there are production issues elsewhere. Russia may have cheap wheat, but the quality isn't there. The EU has been wet, and there's obviously not only yield concerns, but even quality concerns as well. And we also have Argentina and Australia, big players on the world wheat scale that aren't necessarily dodging all the bullets this year either. So I think there's a lot of unknowns yet in the wheat market on how that all plays out. It's just, unfortunately, right now, it's a little bit early in the world harvest season to really know how final production is going to be. But at least our ending stocks are moving lower. The USDA did do that for us this week. And I think there is definitely some room there. So I am optimistic probably on the wheat side a little bit more than necessarily corn and beans, because I do see some of those moving pieces starting to play out.
Okay. All right. Let's put a wrap on this wheat conversation. What do you want to do with marketing on selling the rest of the 24 crop? Are you looking at potentially doing some 25 crop, or do you want to be more patient?
Well, I think every wheat producer out there is pretty patient. I think some of these guys are still holding wheat that's maybe a couple years old too, and watching it go down does not help the situation. But in all reality, you know, now I'm going to backpedal because I don't like when guys do that. But in their defense, if we're dealing with low quality, it gives them some blending room. I guess maybe that's the one positive on the wheat side. So in that respect, that could help them out here going forward. So I understand patience is sometimes key with a lot of this. But I think it's just like corn and beans. You have to be taking advantage of rallies when they come, whether that's making cash sales or doing some hedging. Obviously, with the spring wheat futures, you're not necessarily better off, but obviously puts and calls are very thinly traded, but there are opportunities in there to get some hedges put on. So I would just recommend any unsold bushels continue to use those rallies as hedging and sales opportunities to at least get the ball moving. don't be afraid to roll and maybe start looking out on some of those further out contracts. You know, I know guys are always a little cautious on making wheat sales, but we have to be taking advantage of them. I guess over the last 8 months, that's definitely what the market's proved.
Okay, very good. You know what, Allison, when we come back, I've got one more question about wheat, and it's going to be looking forward to the next year. What does all this mean for wheat seedings for the 25 harvest? I want to talk about that quick, and then we're going to run down some of the details of the corn and soybean reports as well. Allison Thompson, The Money Farm.
Another great harvest, thanks to Pioneer Brand Corn.
Just a few questions.
Who are you?
Kim Kernel, Ag Sports News. I've been chasing your combine for a while. How does it feel getting 10 more bushels per acre over last season?
It feels great. Couldn't have done it without Pioneer. It's America's number one corn brand.
And there you have it, folks, live from the field.
Who are you talking to?
Pioneer, your best year starts here. Learn more at pioneer.com/best yet.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. Where December HRW wheat futures were a penny lower at 562.5. December SRW wheat down 8 cents to 551.75. September corn futures were 5.5 cents lower at 377.75. December corn down 4.25 cents to 397.25. September soybean futures 24 cents lower on the day at 947.25. November beans down 23.5 to 962.5. December cotton today 108 points lower at 67.99. On your livestock, October fats 72.5 higher, 180.75. September feeders 267.5 higher, 242.17.5. And October lean hogs today were $1.47.5 lower, 72.85. Get more. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
In this season of independence, we salute all those families preparing for the local county fair. To the kids sweating in the barn and all those parents standing ringside, let us help get those animals' diets just right and ready for show day. So grab that blue ribbon and plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true, we take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny and warm today, with high temperatures climbing into those mid-80s. Winds will be light and variable, and overnight, patchy fog is possible. We put today on repeat for tomorrow as well before we get soaked on Thursday, with rain lingering for our Friday and even into Saturday. Call Tax Solutions now for help. 1-800-281-8193. Right now, 81 degrees.
Combat stigma.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip. We are in the middle of a conversation with Allison Thompson from the Money Farm up in Fargo, North Dakota. All right, Allison, let's put a second bow on the wheat conversation and look forward to the 25. What's the early odds on wheat acres for that 25 crop wheat harvest?
Oh, man, you're asking a load going out that far, but it's a good question. I mean, as of right now, and again, I'm mostly in that spring wheat market, we've actually been seeing some bull spreading taking place. So they're looking at a lower crop here for Minneapolis, or at least spring wheat. So it is starting to build some more premium in those deferred contracts, and we're seeing some premium build. So if that continues and we do see some higher prices, obviously it's going to come down to how that competes with corn and soybeans. It's a rotational crop up here. So how it's going to cash flow against those other crops remains to be seen. But obviously, case in point here with the USDA report this week, that obviously cash prices weren't good enough to get a lot of acres in. They lowered harvested acres. Planted acres are down this year on spring wheat. So I do think that's going to play a role in it. We're also up against, even with the production being lowered in this report, we're still looking at an overall production being pretty decent here in the U.S. The U.S. balance sheet on wheat looks a lot different than it does on the global side.
Yes.
The global side has been constantly going down, and the market's obviously been comfortable with that, you know, over time. So we haven't seen that necessarily come in and jump a futures price, but eventually it's going to. Demand isn't going to shrink on the global scale, and if supplies are continuing to shrink, eventually that'll come into play. So if we do see a sizable rally, you know, and guys can make a cash flow, I think we could be looking at some better acres next year, even in the winter wheat and soft reds. I think there is some definite possibilities that it could be a looked at crop. I don't think as of right now necessarily it is. But it just depends how those ratios kind of play out here going forward.
Okay. All right. You know, in the global wheat situation, if you take China out of it and look at it then, we're really looking at kind of a tight situation on global wheat stocks. And so that may come into play in the months ahead as we're trying to figure out exactly what that acreage is going to be as well. All right, let's move on. 183.1 for a national average corn yield. Good grief, Allison. Is the crop good enough up north to support that kind of a yield?
Up here in Minnesota? No, we don't get yields quite that big. I mean, there's spots where you can pull off a 200 bushel yield, but it's a small portion, I think, of the overall crop that can actually yield that much. So are they necessarily getting help from up here? Remains to be seen. I mean, corn's looking very nice, but it has to fill yet. So there's a lot that can still come in at play here that could affect those estimates. But on the other side, you're looking at lower acres. And so when you have lower acres, typically you can see a higher yield. Do I think it's going to go to 185? No, I don't. I think we'll probably stick around 183, 184, at least for the time being, until we know more of what gets into harvest.
Okay, so something under a year ago on that Minnesota crop. I mean, I think everybody, well, I shouldn't say everybody, because the southeast corner was so dry last year that even with all the problems that they had this spring, and as crappy as that crop looks in a lot of places, it still might end up being better than what it was a year ago because it was just so dry in that southeast part of the state. Yeah.
Right. And the biggest yielding part of the state is the southern part of Minnesota. And they dealt with some flooding. So there too, how many acres were lost and how the crop actually turns out from that, I'm unknown at this point. It's hard to really gauge how that's all going to work out. Same goes for South Dakota and Iowa as well on how that's all going to shake out in the end.
All right. I didn't see anything in the supply and demand report that really changes my outlook for the corn market a whole lot. We're still looking at a new crop corn carryover just over 2 billion bushels. Okay, I don't feel like that's going to change my outlook or my thinking a whole lot on corn. What about you?
Yeah, same. I mean, ultimately, it came in below trade expectations, which is why we got the good bump yesterday. But like you said, we're still dealing with a carryover over 2 billion bushels, and that's going to hinder prices. I mean, the best we could do today in December corn was 403, which was yesterday's high. We didn't make a new low. That's good. But we need to make some higher highs. And I think what's weighing on the market is that still burdensome carryover. We need something else to come in here. And ultimately, it comes down to demand. They did increase usage on corn, both some usage and exports, which was good to see. But we need to see more continue. Otherwise, I think prices could remain stagnant here. I know there's a case to be made that conditions are getting oversold. They're definitely due for a correction. But ultimately, technically, markets can trend sideways and correct those conditions. So we could just hang out here around $4 until we get more comfortable with what production actually looks like. So I wouldn't be surprised if we just kind of tread water here for a bit.
Okay. Still looking to sell some, I think this is accurate from the last time we talked. You were looking to sell bounces or sell any strength in that corn market. That still kind of your attitude?
Yep. We used the last really good bounce to get rid of the rest of the old crop corn. So now we're just worrying about new crop. And there too, I've been continuing to put, I have orders working. We made some sales here on the last. And I have some orders working near resistance levels. I really like that. But the real strategy with hedging that's really played out well this year is just having some cheap puts in place. You know, I know guys don't like to buy puts. You know, they tell me they expire worthless. But even this year, I mean, it's been a continuing grind lower, and we've been able to pull profits out. So even before the report on Monday, I actually rolled down my puts in place. So I took money off the table while still being short the market. And that's really been playing out well. Cool. In case we do get a bump ahead of these market moving events, it's important to take some money off the table, but you also still want to remain protected. So anytime you can play with the house's money, I think guys are pretty happy.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great
kind
way,
of a good way to put it.
No, that's a good way of looking at it. And you're absolutely right. If you can put some funds into that hedge account by cashing out some put options, do it and do it again, kind of thing.
Right. Just don't take them off completely. I don't want to go unhedged here going forward. I think it's important to keep them in place.
Good point.
And I know there's plenty of guys, especially after the last couple of days here, I've definitely been doom and gloom from a producer standpoint, and understandably so, especially if you aren't hedged. So I've been taking a lot of calls on what to do, and unfortunately you can't go backwards. Hindsight's 2020, but you can still protect what's there today. So just buy some cheap puts. They've been so far working out for guys, and I guess I'd reiterate to keep those or keep putting some on. But ultimately, I'd like to add to hedges when we do get somewhat of a relief rally. And we will get one. I don't know when that will be or how big it'll be. But on beans, we've seen anywhere between 30 to 50 cents. Could we see that again? Yeah, I think so. Pretty easy,
but
especially when
where?
We're getting 25 cents down. Yeah, but from where? That's the main question. That's what we don't know. So that's always the hard part. That's why, even so, you know, if you don't have hedges on, still put them on, you know, and then if you want to reposition or add more, wait for a little bit of a bounce.
Yeah. Yeah, so two big days in a row down in the bean market, and I don't feel like the bean market is done factoring in the changes that we saw, and especially that 560 million bushel new crop bean carryover estimate, Allison. It feels like that opened some additional downside risk.
Yeah, clearly. We're down double digits 2 days in a row. It's really ugly for beans. And, you know, yesterday, actually, I was actually pleasantly surprised with the close we got. You know, we were above 985 on November beans, and that was okay. I'm like, okay, well, if we can hold this together, we'll be all right. Because that's actually a 20-year trend line from lows. And we closed there yesterday, so it looked okay. But now today, we're obviously below that. So that changes the picture. So you have to have an adaptable plan here. Because when we break that, we really have to go back a ways to find any support. And if you look on a 20-year chart, we have to go back a ways. And actually, the next low isn't until we get back to 2020. the second quarter of 2020, and that low is all the way back down at 882.
Yeah.
That's gross.
It is gross. Yes,
from a production standpoint.
And just real quick, from a technical perspective, Kerry Artak was talking about that 980, 983 level as a long-term level of support. And here we are 20 cents below that now. It's opening more downside risk, no doubt.
It is. And everybody's in the bear bandwagon right now. I think everybody joined on board after yesterday. And that'll have some momentum for a while. But eventually it will get pretty heavy. We'll see some kind of a relief rally coming in. But the other thing that's kind of a caveat to all this bearishness is when we do get so heavily one-sided, the funds, outside markets, I mean, we have all these factors that are definitely weighing on it, you know, and price action is supportive of that. But if we got some sort of a black swan event that came in and changed the picture, it could be a fast and furious move higher. But, you know, could happen, aren't a marketing plan. We need to protect still of what we're dealing with today.
That all made sense to me, Allison. Oh, all of
great.
It. good great. Stuff. Really good stuff today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Anytime.
All right. Allison Thompson, The Money Farm.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not a rate based on Terry who keeps and makes the car behind them. Oh, no, they're about to. Save with DriveWise and the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating factors and savings vary, and in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Life hack number 7. Get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense.
Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED medication that's best for you. Discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and a range of treatment options, including trusted generic alternatives to the name brands, at up to 95% off. ED is personal, and at Hims, so is treating it. Just go to hims.com/joy and get connected to a licensed medical provider online for free. With zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
Joining us is Larry Lemke. He is from Los Rios Farm in Bethard, Colorado. Larry, talk to me about some of the challenges that you face and other farmers face as well, and how you are managing those challenges.
Well, a little over 20 years ago, we had a pretty severe drought that kind of pushed me away from farming. And then in 2013, we had a pretty severe flood, which brought me back to the farm. So with all that back and forth kind of stuff and me being engaged in the farm again, it's like, well, how do we fix this? What are we going to do? You know, we've had some good technology and some really poor technology lead us to where we are with a lot of soil and water degradation. And now we're trying to turn that back to see if we can straighten things up.
Okay, what's got you most excited about what you're doing on your farm?
Basically, what we're trying to do is emulate nature. Instead of trying to force massive yields and maximize everything and keep the banker, the fertilizer company, the seed company, and the chemical company in business, We're trying to keep Mother Nature in business, trying to add the organic matter back in. The other thing is, you know, I see a lot of my neighbors. You drive across western Nebraska, eastern Colorado, and you see all those beautiful wheat fields all in those strips, not a weed out there. And that's actually not the way it works, you know. We've had some technology that has not been the best things for us, like the strip farming. We found that that's been really hard on the soil. And so if we get our soil biome straightened back up, get that organic matter in place so we can get the moisture that we do get into the ground instead of running off so that we can prolong things, I think we're going to be headed back in the right direction.
You can get more of Larry's story at investinourland.org. Thanks, Larry. That is Larry Lemke, Los Rios Farm in Bethard, Colorado.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bred to defy expectations. So it's no surprise they're getting rave reviews, and that has more than farmers talking. In fact, a grain elevator wrote, "Sweet mother of pearl, trailer after trailer of Z-Series, it's never ending, we need a break." Safe to say, everyone is feeling the impact of Z-Series soybeans. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/greatest yields.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation. I mean, you can try it. We're almost done. It might have to be a quick one, but absolutely.
We'll take it.
Agri-talk. Yeah, we'll take it. They're straight from Chip himself, straight from the executive himself. You know?
The
He'll
who?
Take it.
The
executive
what?
Himself.
The
yes.
executive?
The grand poobah. Yes.
I don't see where it says anything executive in the word host.
The exalted feller, I think is what, maybe that's how it translates.
You know what cracks me up? You know, I'm on LinkedIn, okay, LinkedIn, and I'm on there for connections and so on. But every now and then they'll send you some job openings.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And so I get these emails from LinkedIn, and it says, Outback Steakhouse, now hiring.
Hey!
Lone Star Steakhouse, now hiring. It's because they're looking for hosts at the front door.
And they want someone
I'm on there as host.
I see what you're doing.
I'm on there as host of AgriTalk. Yeah, they're looking for hosts.
Host. You hit the keyword.
Yes. Yeah.
So maybe consider changing it to Grand Poobah. We can come up with something.
No, this keeps my options open. I could always head over to Outback and have me a blooming onion and get a job. I think I could do that. Yeah.
Well, that'd be great. I mean, me and Big Apple Joe could always get a table that way. I'm pretty sure.
Sure. Which is not easy to do.
No, not in this day and age. No.
That's right.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm. What do you got?
I don't know. I kind of want to talk about the stuff that you talked about with Allison, but I have a question, dude. Hit the eject button if you want to, okay? Unfair of me to ask this at this point. I don't get it. And I feel like there are others who feel the same way. Food inflation. Now, we talked to Brian Split. Dude is almost having like a personal crisis for having to report just what he believes is the case. Bearish news. And he's like, he's no happier about it than anybody else.
Nor is
Allison Thompson, nor are we. Dude, food inflation. My food is more expensive. Why are food grains not? Where's our inflation? I don't understand why grains are low and food is high. I don't get it.
Couple of things. Okay. Commodities are a free market price discovery product. The more the supply there is, we've said it a million times, the higher the supply, the more aggressive a market will look for demand. And how does it look for demand? By taking prices lower. Now, commodities also, the end product, they don't care what it costs for you to grow it. They just don't. You know, I've seen some of these comments about until we can get what it costs to grow it, let's not plant it. Well, that's an option, but it's certainly a you go first option because I don't know who's all going to do that.
You'll make your neighbor rich doing that.
You're going to make your neighbor rich doing that. And then when we talk about food inflation, we also have to talk about a couple of other things. Now, that food maker, processor, maker,
mm-hmm.
if it costs them more to move that product from one spot to another, they're not going to eat it. They're going to pass it on to the person that's ultimately consuming the food.
Okay.
If it costs more to have someone move it from the back room to the shelf and put it on the shelf, they're going to pass that cost on. Okay. What is the price of fuel at the pump? I'm not asking about the price of crude oil futures.
Uh-huh.
I'm not asking that because the price of crude oil futures. Okay. It doesn't shock me that bad. But when I go and I fill my tank up and it's $3.30 or $3.50 a gallon,
mm-hmm.
what the heck? How does that translate? Well, the workers that are making crude oil into gasoline are getting paid more. Okay, good for them. But it's the ever right. Okay, here's another one. We joked about this for so long leading up to it that once you take that price, the minimum wage, geez, mm-hmm. once you take the minimum wage, and we were looking at California,
yes.
but once you take that minimum wage to $20 an hour, what's going to be the cost of a Happy Meal at McDonald's?
Yeah.
$20. It's real. There are farming because of what it is it's in a different situation. You know, the risks that farmers face because of weather. Now you can offset some of that risk with insurance. That's absolutely mm-hmm. true.
Yep.
But the costs of doing business climb with the price that you're getting paid. And then they're sticky as heck, even as the price has gone down. I've said it a million times, and I'll say it one more time. The market's got two jobs. Every day its job is to find and discover the price that makes sense for today. A long-term job of the market is to make sure that the commodity is being produced by the lowest cost producers. And that means holding high cost or higher cost producers underwater for a long enough period of time to redistribute their production to a lower cost producer. That's the harsh reality.
That's true.
That is the harsh reality of a commodity market.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for that. Yeah.
When times are hard, times are hard. Mm-hmm. Times are good. They're awesome because you're making money and living the lifestyle that you want to live. When times stink like they do right now, you got to lean a little harder on the lifestyle that you're leading rather than the money that you're making. National Weather Service, August 19th through the 23rd, below normal temperatures expected in the central and eastern, above normal temperatures expected in the west. Near normal to below normal precipitation expected over the entire Corn Belt. We've got Senator Grassley in a farmer forum tomorrow morning on AgriTalk.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is the famous footwear that makes us actually want to go back to school with the newest styles from all your favorite brands like Nike, Adidas, Crocs, Converse, New Balance, Birkenstock, and more. You'll find everything kids want, all at prices parents can appreciate, because you don't have to overspend to make it famous. Famous Footwear even has fit experts in store to make sure you get the right size every time. So for the perfect fit, make it famous. Plus, right now, buy one, get one half off when you shop.